Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. We want to read from chapter 3, and then we want to read from chapter 6 as well. Zechariah chapter 3, and then chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 3 first of all. And today we want to think about Christ, the branch. Today is a day whenever we think about branches. And I've talked to the children already about branches, palm branches. But did you know that this is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's called the branch. And we're going to read about this great title today. And there's no better subject for us to contemplate today than Christ, who is the branch. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." And I said, "Let them set a fair mitre upon his head." So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." There's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice that the word branch is in capital letters. What does that mean? Well, that simply means that this person we're talking about is God. You see, you'll often see words in Scripture that have capital letters, but they always refer to God. Think of Lord. That word Lord throughout the Old Testament, that word's always written down in capital letters. L-O-R-D. Capital letters. And that word, of course, Lord, we all know that that refers to God. But here's this same, this word branch, and it's also, Zechariah has been inspired to put it down with capital letters. He's highlighting this word. So the original scriptures have it in capital letters, and our King James translators also put it into capital letters, branch, because this refers to the Lord himself. Let's read the final two verses of the chapter. "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbour under the vine and under the fig tree." Move over to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And let's begin to read at verse 9. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Take of them of the captivity, even of Hildai, of Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon. And come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So there's another reference to this man, or this person who's called the branch. And this verse makes it even more specific, because it refers to him as the man. Behold the man whose name is the branch. So who is this referring to? Well, this is crystal clear. This is referring to the Savior. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. Let's bow for prayer. Let's ask God to help us understand his word. Our gracious God, we have one desire and one desire only, that Christ would be glorified, that all people gathered here this morning would focus on him. We desire that everyone's attention would be upon him. May he be the subject of our thoughts today. Lord, I pray, O God, that those of us who are saved will see just how great a Savior we have. And I pray, Lord, that those who are not saved, Lord, I pray that thou wilt so work upon their hearts that they will be drawn to Christ. We realize that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that the Spirit of God will work. Help us, Lord, we pray. We are weak, frail, and fallen creatures, so helpless without thee. Oh, how helpless and how hopeless we are, Lord. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised to help us. And Lord, thou art praying for us. So Lord, come and meet with us now, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I have picked out two verses that refer to the branch. But I could have also pointed you to quite a number of other passages that refer to Christ as the branch. For a moment or two, let me point you to those other verses that refer to him as the branch. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Isaiah 4 verse 2, let us just take the time to read these other verses we have read from Zechariah. But let's go back and read from Isaiah chapter 4 verse 2. Isaiah 4 verse 2, and again this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 4:2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Turn to Jeremiah 33 and verse 15. Jeremiah 33 and verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. So we have read four verses that refer to Christ as the branch. Now notice that all these verses do not say a branch. A branch. They say the branch. Because there's no branch like this branch. There's no one to be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we mentioned when we were talking to the wee ones earlier on, this is the day whenever people think about branches. And of course everybody's thoughts go back 2,000 years ago to that day whenever all those people gathered at Jerusalem welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ riding so humbly down into the city of Jerusalem. And the people were welcoming him, waving their palm branches, praising him, cheering. You know, like I'm sure you all have seen people at a football match, and those people are cheering, especially whenever their team scores a goal. Or I'm sure you've seen Her Majesty ride by whenever there's that ceremony known as the Trooping of the Colour. Whenever the Trooping of the Colour takes place, Her Majesty rides by and the people cheer and the people give their appreciation to the Queen. When Her Majesty goes to horse races, races like Royal Ascot, again the same happens. You'll hear the people cheering Her Majesty. Well, think about 2,000 years ago when Christ came down into Jerusalem. There were the people cheering him, praising him. But I want you to remember one thing. Those people changed very quickly. You see, those people who one day were cheering him, one day they were praising him, do you know what they were saying less than a week later? Crucify him! Crucify him! Can you see how fickle people are? Do you know how fickle human beings are? I'm fickle. You're fickle too. We're all fickle. Oh, I pray that the Lord will show us just how fickle we really are. We are so changeable. But I don't get discouraged when I think of that, because I remember that there's one person who's not fickle. There's one person who doesn't change with the wind. God himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. But let's get back to the topic for this morning, because we want to focus upon this great title of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ the branch. Why is he called the branch? Why did the Holy Spirit prompt Zechariah the prophet to refer to Christ as the branch? Well, you think about a branch for a wee minute. First of all, think about how branches offer protection. Branches offer protection. The Lord Jesus spoke of that when he said, Matthew 13:32, when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The birds come and make their nest in the branches of the tree. Isn't that right? They find protection in the branch. And those little birds, night by night, they're up in the branches of the tree. They're sheltering up in the branches. They're safe. But of course, not only do birds find shelter from branches, but you think about people. I'm sure that every one of us have been caught in a storm. I'm sure you've been out somewhere and the rain has suddenly come on and you're caught in the rain. Where do you go for shelter? Where do you go for protection? Well, you'll run anywhere for protection. Not that long ago, I was walking home from the church and I got caught in a rain shower and all I could see was the bus shelter. So I spent about 15 minutes standing in the bus shelter, sheltering from the rain. I couldn't find a tree, by the way. But let's just say that you're caught in the rain and you're near a tree. Where will you go? You'll go to the tree. You'll go for shelter under the branches of the tree. Tell me this, dear friend. Have you ever sheltered under the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sheltering under the Savior? Remember that He is the branch. He's there for shelter. He's there for protection. He's there to shelter your sin-stained soul. He's there to shelter sinful man. So any of you who are here this morning and you're without the Savior, the Lord Jesus invites you to come and to shelter under Him today. He invites you to come to the branch. Come to Him for shelter from the storm. Come to Him for protection from the wrath of God. The Lord Jesus calls you to come to Himself. And remember that He's the only shelter for the soul. I'm glad today that I have the shelter of the branch. Because I am a sinner through and through. Only a sinner saved by grace. And I tell you, I feel every moment of every day just how fallen I am and just how sinful I really am apart from the grace of God. But I'm glad today that I have a place of shelter. Right now, this minute, I'm sheltering under the branch. Are you sheltering under the branch? Have you ever made your way from the storm and sheltered under the Lord Jesus? Have you taken shelter under His shadow? Psalm 61 verse 3. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Have you got a shelter today? Where are you sheltering today? I hope that you're not sheltering in this church. If you know what I mean. I hope that this church isn't your shelter. I hope today that you're not thinking, oh, I come to this church every Sunday, so I'm safe. Whenever I stand before God someday, I'll just say to the Lord, Lord, I came to New Buildings, Independent Methodist Church, faithfully, week by week. That was my shelter. Oh, dear friend, don't make this church your shelter, because on the day of judgment, that supposed shelter will be useless to you. Oh, there's no other shelter apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 71 and verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Have you ever fled to Christ for refuge? Why do you need refuge? Well, dear friend, remember that there's an angry God above you. Oh, some people foolishly think that the devil's the one that we need protection from. But let's get it straight today. God has been outraged because of our sins. He is an angry God, and He's after you today, my friend. That's perfectly scriptural. I'm not bringing the name of the Lord into disrepute by saying that today, because He has been outraged by your sin, by the different ways each day that you break His holy law. And His judgment hangs over you. You need protection from a righteous God. Do you know the amazing thing is that righteous God who has been outraged by your sin, that same God offers you protection. He offers you shelter. Do you know what He says? Come to the branch. Come to the great branch, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how true the hymn writer's words are, O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm, Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. But then I want you to think, secondly, about what happened on Palm Sunday. You see, what did those people do whenever the Lord Jesus rode down into Jerusalem? What did they do with the branches? They did exactly the same as I did this morning. They waved the branches. That's what they did that day. You see, whenever some great military conqueror returned to his home city, all the people would come out with their palm branches. And they would welcome him and they would praise him and wave their palm branches to salute him. Here's the great conqueror. Here's the great military leader. He's come back from the battle. He's led his forces to victory. Now we're here to welcome him. Let's wave the palm branches. And you know, on that day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were welcoming him. Here's the great King of Kings. And those people waved palm branches. You know, dear friends, every Sunday we wave palm branches. Or let me be more clear about it. Perhaps you don't understand what I'm getting at. Every Sunday we wave the branch. We wave the branch. That's my aim every Sunday, to wave the branch. Now you say, what are you talking about? You've lost your marbles. I'm talking about preaching Christ. Remember that he is the branch. And every Sunday, we seek to wave the branch. We seek to present the branch. We seek to preach Christ. He is our only message. And every Sunday, I've been here for almost a year, and I've sought with God's grace every week to wave the branch. And let you see the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you'll be drawn to him. That's my duty, that's my responsibility. My responsibility isn't to stand up here and to preach about daisies and about dandelions and things like that, and nice things like that. Oh, my responsibility up here every week is to preach about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today again, though you can't see it with your eye, though I don't literally have branches in my hands, I'm waving the branch again today. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the branch. John 12, verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Every Sunday, I am just like those people. You see, every Sunday I have to prepare the message and I have to make sure that every message centers upon Christ. And then when I have the message prepared, by the way, I don't get the time to prepare every week that I'd love to. I'll be honest with you, dear friends, some weeks I come into the pulpit and, things have been so busy. We have had such a busy week sometimes that we don't always get the preparation done that we'd like to. But we seek as often as possible to spend time preparing, to spend as much time as we can preparing and getting the branch ready, as it were, to present to the people. And then my responsibility, after I have prepared the message, then I must bring the message, bring the branch into the pulpit and wave the branch. That's my duty. I can't save you. I can't create conviction. The Holy Spirit alone can do that. But I have the responsibility of waving the branch, preaching Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, we preach Christ crucified. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Notice thirdly, something else about a branch. What do you find on a branch? What will you find on a branch? Well, I'm sure every one of you have eaten something during the past week that started out on a branch. You've eaten an apple, I'm sure, or you've eaten some other fruit. You've eaten a pear. You've eaten fruit over the past week. Where did the apple start out? On the branch. Somebody went to the branch and they pulled that apple or that pear off the branch. And you were able to eat it. You see, branches bear fruit. That's what you find on the branch. You'll find the fruit. There was no branch so fruitful as the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the fruit that God's great heavenly branch bore. Think about his perfect life, so full of fruit. Here's the branch, living for 33 and a half years and continually bearing fruit for all to see. How fruitful was the Savior's life? None of us can compare to that life. Whenever we think about the Savior's life, whenever we read about his spotless life, surely every one of us are ashamed of our lives. Compared to him, we are like darkness compared to his light. We are so unfruitful compared to his fruitfulness. Think about Matthew 3 and verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, God the Father, right at the beginning of Christ's ministry, saw that he was fruitful. God the Father saw his great branch, who had grown up from Bethlehem, as it were. And God the Father saw him day by day, and as he looked on him, he could find no fault with him. There was no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. And day after day, Joseph saw it, Mary saw it, other people saw it. His fruit. How fruitful the Lord Jesus was. Think of John 8 and verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Listen to this. For I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. In other words, I am fruitful. I am always fruitful. Can you say today, I do always those things that please him? Not a bit of it. None of us can say it, me included. None of us can say, I do always those things that please him. Oh, how many times we can look back to the past and see the sins that we were so foolish to enter into. We can see the shortcomings that are so frequent. Oh, we look back to the past and we see the mistakes that we have made. Foolish mistakes. We certainly cannot say, for I do always those things that please him. But the Lord Jesus could say it, and he is the only one who has the right to say it. He was the only one who could truly say it. How fruitful he was. God's great branch was laden with fruit. Why was he laden with fruit? We're getting to the crux of it now, aren't we? We're getting to the heart of it now. Why did he have to be so fruitful? Why did this great branch of the Lord have to be so full of fruit? So that you could be accepted by the Lord. so that God the Father could look on his righteousness and his fruitfulness and then come with mercy to a poor sinner like you and forgive you and accept you for Christ's sake, forgive you for Christ's sake. That's the reason we're accepted by God. That's the reason why we're forgiven by God. Not because of what we do, not because of what we strive to achieve, but because of what Christ did, because of his fruitfulness. He is the branch that contains so much fruit. He is so fruitful. He possesses every fruit that God the Father loves to see. But let me just say to God's people that we should be fruitful. We are to be fruitful. What do I mean when I say that? Well, turn to Galatians 5 and you'll find exactly what I'm referring to. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, now listen to this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Tell me, Christian, have you got those fruits? You are a branch, by the way. You remember what the Lord Jesus said, John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we who are saved are to bear fruit. What sort of fruit? Well, look at this verse again. Verse 22, Galatians 5. Love. I hope that over the week ahead you will exercise love toward your fellow Christians. That everything you do, everything you say will be motivated by love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. That just means that you are able to overlook faults that you see in others. And you're not the sort of person who holds grudges. You're not the sort of person who picks up on every wee fault that a fellow Christian makes, or that the preacher makes, because this preacher makes many faults. He makes many mistakes, by the way. You've all noticed them. But when you're long-suffering, you'll not highlight the mistakes. You'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was long-suffering. And by the way, all of these fruits are found in Christ. Look to him first of all. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, gentleness. Oh, whenever you're gentle, you'll not be the sort of person who raises your voice and shouts at your fellow believers. No, that's not gentleness. You'll not be the sort of person who gives other Christians a mouthful. Oh, you'll not come out with a mouthful to your brother or sister in Christ. That's not gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness. Well, meekness just means humility. Humility. Being humble. Oh, these are fruits that I pray the Lord will enable every one of us who are saved to produce. We can only produce these fruits with the Lord's help, you know. By ourselves, we can never be fruitful. We will only be unfruitful. We will do everything and anything apart from what God wants us to do. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, by His grace, by His supernatural power, we can be fruitful. And over the week ahead, let's be fruitful. But this message today wouldn't be complete without referring to the cross. Think about branches for a wee moment again. Sometimes my father has to prune his branches. My father's a gardener. And there are times when he has to go to his trees and he has to prune them. He has to cut the branches. And he does it for the good of the tree. Do you know, dear friends, on Good Friday, God the Father pruned His great branch, if I can put it like that. God the Father permitted His Son to be pruned, as it were, upon the cross. God the Father permitted His great branch to be crucified on Calvary. Notice that these people who welcomed the Lord Jesus on Palm Sunday, did you notice what they did? Mark 11, verse 8. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. Oh, there's the cross again. Branches that were cut down. These people, these people who welcomed the Savior when He rode down into Jerusalem. These people went to the palm trees and they cut down the branches. But these people didn't seem to realize that not many days after that, God's great branch, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, would be cut down. He would be wounded. He would be pruned for their sins. And of course, He was wounded for you. Sure, that's what we started the meeting by singing. Didn't we sing that great hymn? Wounded for me, wounded for me, there on the cross. He was wounded. What? For me. I'm glad that one day I'll stand before God. And because He was wounded for me, because Christ, God's great heavenly branch, because He was wounded for me, I will be accepted. I will be welcomed into heaven's mansions. John Newton penned the great hymn, I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood, who fixed his loving eyes on me. As near his cross I stood, my conscience felt and owned my guilt, and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins His blood had shed, and helped to nail Him there. A second look He gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled, to think He died for me. Amen. Now we're going to turn to the final hymn, number 15. Hymn number 15. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We picked this hymn because it is Palm Sunday and it is appropriate for Palm Sunday. So let's rise to sing hymn number 15.